Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back to Overnight America, hour number 4. Just past 1 o'clock in St. Louis, and I want you to tell me something good. It's a time we reserve for our listeners to spread some good news for once. We need some good news. Just feels good, like a little hug in the morning. That sounds weird. When I put it that way, it seems a little awkward. Just a little hug in the morning. So go ahead and tell me something good that happened to you. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And I like this because we have a few calls. Let's go to Grover first. And John, what's up?
Hi, good morning, America. I just want to thank everyone out there for being peaceful and having a quiet and safe night. I hope everybody has the therapeutic and wellness things they need. You know, sometimes I used to be funny and show up at different comedy clubs, but I can't please all my friends and family. Sometimes I'm just too busy writing for other people and taking care of my own personal needs. And,
sure.
You know, October is awareness for a lot of things, for burned out professionals and happy people. You know, we all need to wrap things up and find courage to heal. And sometimes we can do that face to face, and other things we can't. I spent the last month donating freely to various charities in the community. Mm-hmm. I attended a special school where I helped learn and help a lot of people with special needs and gifts. And sometimes we can do this face to face, and sometimes we can't. One of my favorite charities I donated to last week was St. Vincent de Paul Society.
Okay.
I think that's something to remember, that in this time of year, we need to pray for peace for all the homeless and help our responders deal with all types of crisis situations. And, you know, I hope by the New Year's Eve I find somebody special. And it's not much of a rush, you know. That's one of my favorite bands, you know. And
yeah.
On New Year's Eve. So everybody out there, have a safe and wonderful day, and good night, America, wherever you are. And, you know, I wish I could have really met Robin Williams. He was such a marvelous inspiration in my life.
Well, there you go,
so
John.
Everybody out there, please, please take care of yourself and have a peaceful and plentiful and wonderful night.
Very good,
thank
John.
You
thank you.
Knows. All right, one.
All right. Thanks, John. That's interesting. I feel like, no, that was good. I don't remember John ever calling in before. I think John may have been a new caller. We need to get a new caller, like, ding, 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 day. Call in anytime, John. I'm not going to make fun of you too much. All right, let's go to Tom from Ohio. I was just in your land, but on the other side of the state.
Yeah, yes, you told me you were going to be there. You know, your producer threw me off a little bit. When I answered the phone, he said, Tom, what are you doing?
Oh, he knew. Well, you want to know why? This is a secret, but we actually work with the NSA, and we relay all information on all callers to the government.
Well, then you'd know what I'm doing because you'd have the camera on me.
Yeah. You know, I would really appreciate if you moved it a little to the left. We're not actually seeing everything too clearly right now.
Well, like I told him, though, Larry King used to have a why are you up night.
Really?
Well, yeah.
So how would that work?
Like once a month or so, he'd have a why are you up night.
He'd go, is it, what city are you from? Massary?
Well, yeah, I'm near the Youngstown.
Youngstown, yeah, that's
Ohio
right.
Area.
So he'd go, Youngstown, Tom, go. Is that how Larry King would do it?
Well, at times.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's Majory, but came as close to not butchering it as most people.
You know, I don't
just say I'm from Ohio or I'm from the Youngstown area.
Youngstown, sure. Well, I'll get it right next time. So do you have something good to share?
Well, yeah. First of all, I'm glad you're back.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, the guy that was filling in the last couple of nights, and you know, in his mind, I'm sure he feels that way, but he came on saying that the first night that he was a middle of the roader, you know, more not on either side. I got the impression he might have been in the middle of the liberal side, you know, the left side.
Jared Rizzi's his name. He used to work here. Most people I've talked to don't remember him because he was here some time ago, and there's a lot of new people that I work with at night, new in the sense of the last several years. But, yeah, Jared, I listened back to some of his segments, and I messaged him on Twitter. I said, hey, you know, thanks for filling in, and I got to listen to some of it. I know what you mean.
No, he's an intelligent guy.
Yeah.
I guess he was at the White House for 7 years as a correspondent, or 5 years. I just wondered if he really asked any hardball questions, you know.
And if he was under President Obama as well. I think he was a White House correspondent for satellite radio, if I remember correctly. And, yeah, so he was able to give his account of some of those. I got to hear some of it. It was interesting.
I'll tell you, he's a lot better than a lot of them that fill it. A lot of the regulars, too, for that matter. You guys have a good team of people. You know, as far as good news, I'm glad that Jeff Flake has decided to resign.
Mm.
Bob Corker is – or not run for re-election, I should say. Bob Corker is leaving. I think if they got John McCain and Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski to go along that same route, Trump would be further advancing his ability to get things done. Because if you think about it, it's not the Republican Party that has been letting people down, or the Republican Congress. It's been a handful of people that they need for votes. And when you're this close in terms of split between Republicans and Democrats, one or two definitely make a difference, as we saw with the health care bill.
Yeah. What about
one difference?
What do you think about President Trump's approach to some of these senators? Do you feel like he could be greasing the wheel a little bit easier and maybe getting his way?
You mean that he's trying to do that, or that he's not greasing the wheel?
Well, let's say in the sense of Senator Flake or any of them, really, in this case, when he gets into these Twitter wars and he starts going back and forth. And at some point, do you think, like, you know, if he would have just laid off a little bit, maybe they would have got his way?
You know, the same. It's sort of like the things I like best about him are the same things at times that get in his way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what I saw in Trump, and it's the same thing I saw in Ted Cruz. They both were willing to go for the jugular. They both had fire in the belly. And they were the only two that did,
mm-hmm.
And that's what really distinguished the Republicans from the last three or four attempts they had to get the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
But the other point is that that approach that Trump has is a defensive one, and I can't really fault him for being defensive. When you go into an entirely new development. Yeah. Or environment, I should say.
Yeah.
And it's a type of situation where not only is the opposing side against you, but members of your own side are against you.
Mm-hmm.
And the media, mainstream media, is against you. And Hollywood is against you. And the late night television people are against you. You know, it's kind of hard to get a footing.
Yeah, I can understand that. But when you look at, in particular, what's going on with Senator Corker and going back and forth, and he's being very, you know, I think unfair to the president. And what bothers me the most, I don't know if you heard the first hour, I talked a little bit about this, but what bothers me the most about it is that he was riding that Trump train and he thought it was the greatest thing ever up until he's like, you know what, it's easy for me to hop up now and say whatever I want. It's like, we don't want friends like that. And I know it's not like a politics isn't really like a friend's deal, but we don't like those people around us, and that's exactly what he's doing.
Well, and quite frankly, I heard an interview by the woman I think is going to run for his seat, and she is a Trump supporter. She's for border control. And in other words, I think Trump is, you know, remodeling the deck, so to speak, and rearranging the chairs on the deck and getting some people in there that, think of Sarah Huckabee Sanders. What a fantastic replacement for Sean Spicer.
Yeah, she's been doing a great job. She really has.
And what you know when you think of the three generals, Mattis and McMaster and General Kelly. Did you happen to hear General Kelly's response the other day about Frederico Wilson?
Right. I played it on Thursday, my last day before I went out for a couple of days. And I think that he handled it very well. And I think that he was pretty precise with his own experience of how these things work and a good explanation of it, because I don't think the media was going to listen to anyone else. So it was good that
he
had to do it.
He came out the other day, and he and I are the same age, 67. And he said, you know, when I grew up, we had respect for women. We had respect for religion. We had respect for life.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and that's all missing.
Yeah.
And I really think that this is refreshing. I think Trump, you know, going right in there and getting a Supreme Court justice that actually is going to help to start turn things around in the mm-hmm. proper direction. I mean, there is hope for this country. I really was wondering if we were Ryan. I told you this before. I really thought we were heading over the cliff, and we may still get there. I mean, it's amazing to me the number of people your age and even 10 years older than you or so who just want to, you know, throw in the towel. I mean, you know, so what if we have bilingual, speak Spanish in the English country? So what if we have all these illegals in here and we make them citizens? Why don't we just bring all the troops home and let the rest of the world handle itself? I mean, I'm sorry. You know, it just seems to me that everything's wasted then if you think about that.
Yeah.
And why in the world would you want to have any government create a set of policies where you're improving the economy, where you're getting better trade deals, where you're doing everything else, and you're not protecting your borders so that you're allowing people to come in and get sanctuary privileges and voting privileges, and pretty soon they're going to take over the country.
Yeah, so Tom, the whole answer, the left will say, there's a very easy answer for everything you just said. It's your white privilege showing. So
I'm going to ask you about that. Where do I go to get my white privilege? I'm serious. I mean, you know
Tom,
from the day I started in the workplace, I had to step aside because I was a white male, and it was women and minorities who were taking affirmative action and quota positions, and that was not only in the workplace,
no,
it was in college.
It's a cop out.
It was business loans.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, where do I go to get that white privilege?
Yeah, I don't know anymore, Tom. Hey, we got to go to break, but
hey, no problem. Good having you back.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah, I don't know. It's a cop out argument. I mean, for the most part, whenever you hear it, it's here's the thing: it's people want to throw out anything to try to demean you if they don't agree with you, and that's just one of those things. You know, I feel like I'm. I feel like I've rose above that, and I'm ready to actually have discussions with people, but unfortunately, people don't want to do it. All right, so let's talk about something good. I got a couple of stories to share with you, but if something good happened to you, let's hear it. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX. I always like stories, good stories. In the 1 o'clock hour, we want you to tell me something good, and go ahead and do that. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Let's go to Kathy, Maryville, Illinois. Kathy, what's going on?
Hi, I want to tell you two wonderful things that happened to me.
Good.
I just had my 76th birthday.
Oh.
I have two of the best friends in the world. One of them surprised me and gave me two $100 bills.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I'm living on Social Security, so believe me, that was a great gift. And my other friend gave me one of those Medic Alert necklaces to go around your neck.
Uh-huh.
And she's paying for it forever.
Whoa, Kathy, you're friends. You have some
Isn't that marvelous?
You have some nice friends, Kathy.
I really do.
Real keepers.
And they've been friends for over 30 years.
Oh, that is awesome.
Isn't that great?
Oh, Kathy, I tell you what, that is excellent.
I think so, too.
How old are you? You said 76?
Yep.
What do you need one of those things for? You're still young.
Oh, my God. My mind is young, but my body is just talking back.
Bodies betray us. I get it, Kathy. I absolutely get it.
The birds.
Yeah.
But I'm all right. I'm blessed.
Good. Well, that sounds like you have some great friends to rely and lean on. That's an excellent story here.
Amen to that, brother.
Thanks, Kathy.
Okay.
Bye. Interesting. So, Kathy just told me some great stories. Let me tell you a couple of good stories. Let's get to these, because there was one that I'll tell you happened to me, because my son just turned 3 years old. Hey, 3 years old. What a great time to be a dad, because every day I look at him and I say, man, he is a little bit bigger. He has grown up just a little bit. Will that ever end? Will there be a point where I'll be able to enjoy him frozen in time for the moment he was? Because all I do is I see him and I say, man, he has already grown a little bit since I last looked at him. And we spent time in Ohio and Indiana. My wife and my son, we drove up, and he wanted, for his birthday, something very specific. When my wife asked him, what do you want for your birthday? He said, I want people to sing for me. He wanted people to sing happy birthday to him. So we said, okay, we have to go to Ohio. We had a little birthday party for him there. And then we went to my parents' place in Michigan. We had a little birthday party for him there, too. He got two people to sing to him. And when a group of people sing happy birthday to him, the look on his face, there's nothing else like it. There is absolutely nothing else. And I think back and I think, man, I don't want to forget what this looked like. I don't want to forget this moment. And then him trying to blow out the candle, and he couldn't do it, you know. So I go up to him, I say, hey, put your lips together like this. Like you're going to, like, and then he did it, and he was blowing out candles like a pro after that. It's amazing how fast they learn little things like that. Absolutely amazing. I can tell you that my love for my son, it's unbelievable how much it grows. This was explained to me once, and it absolutely makes sense, because as a man, it's interesting, because before my son was born, you know, I wasn't a father, right? You kind of have to have a kid, and then the attributes of the father come out. It's not like those attributes weren't there, but they come out. There's something in you that comes out when you have a kid. And things about you, you don't realize in your life, they start to change and you start to see these things and they start to grow, not only in the offspring that you had, but in yourself. And, you know, same thing with your wife, or, you know, the same thing as becoming a mother for the first time. It's amazing to me. And those things are always in you. And to see those things come out, it's a special thing. And you don't realize how much love, because you think, okay, I'm married. You know, we don't have any kids, but I'm married. How can I love anything more than my wife? Then you have a kid and you're like, wow. And then you have another kid and you're like, wow. It's just amazing. These attributes come out in you. You don't realize until it's right there in front of you. A couple of good stories I want to share with you. And if you want to share another good story, I'd love to hear it. Let's talk, America. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America on KMOX. Got a little more here. All right. So I'm seeing some text messages come in. Shelly just text messaged me a photo of her three sons. Look at them. Aw. The oldest one had a birthday on Tuesday. So cool. So cool. Love stories like that. All right, so a couple of other good stories I want to share with you. Here's a good one. A weird story, but turned out good. Apparently, a dog was stolen in Texas 3 years ago. A woman had a service dog, a Staffordshire Terrier, originally trained by people for this woman who had seizures. When the woman ended up homeless, she kept the dog with her on the streets of Austin. The dog eventually took care of her, was her only family, and pulled her wheelchair. Kind of sad. Well, actually, very sad. The owner had to make a plea, and another woman known as Miss Jane said she was going to take care of the dog before the woman died. However, a man took the dog prematurely, thought that this woman was trying to get rid of the dog, And then he hitchhiked across the country all the way to the Portland, Oregon area. Now, the man, even though he hitchhiked, lived up there, big surprise, homeless there, and eventually died. This dog was on the streets living alone. This poor pup called Lady Bird was wandering until someone picked him up, weighing 30 pounds, going deaf, apparently had no jaw muscles because the poor thing wasn't eating. Ribs were sticking out. And somehow they connected it, because it was a service dog, I'm guessing service dogs are chipped, connected it to this woman that's the owner down in Texas and got the dog back to her. And as you can imagine, it meant the world to her to get her dog back, especially one that close. When you lose everything and then you lose the dog, that's sad. When the dog finds its way back to you after 3 years, that's amazing. Here's another one. This might make you cry a little bit, because when I started reading it, I started getting teary-eyed, but it is a good story. It's out of Michigan, and it's a story out of Schwartz Creek, Michigan. It's right outside of Flint. There were two young children, one five-year-old, one three-year-old, and a fun, loving family. But unfortunately, the father, who had brain cancer, passed away earlier in the year. As a way to try to send a letter to the now deceased father, and them being as young as they were, the mother decided to let them write a letter to Daddy in heaven. They put it on some balloons and they let it go. And that's where the mom thought it would end. They thought, okay, we're going to send this to it. And it helped these children. It helped these children feel like they had that way to communicate with the father they lost. That balloon traveled 95 miles, went over into a little town called Petrola, Ontario, into the backyard of Heather and Tim Wilcox. As soon as that couple in Ontario, in Canada, saw the letter, they can tell the family was going through some really tough times. And this is where that couple decided to step up and say, we want to do something nice for this family. They did a little search. They found the mother's Facebook page, and they messaged out to the mom and said, you're not going to believe it, but your balloon landed all the way here in Canada. We would like to send a gift to your children. And with the mother's permission, and they even consulted a child psychologist, the random couple that just happened to have this balloon land in their yard, instead of throwing it away, they read the letter, presented and mailed to the two children, noted from their guardian angels, from their father, two gifts. One was a teddy bear for the girl. The other, a red sports car toy for the boy, a replica of his dad's car. When he saw that, he yelled, a Corvette, just like my dad's. So it's pretty amazing, the kindness of strangers in some way. So the mother was talking about how much that meant for the kids, just how touching that was. The families have been speaking on a regular basis. It looks like they're planning to meet up next month for the first time. Mom said, we've been touched. There's no other way to describe it. The family is just a gift from above. You know, that makes me tear up just looking at it. I tell you what. Good for this family to do something like that. You know, it's a small gesture to say, I'm going to send a care package to these kids. But, you know, they could have easily have ignored it. You can only imagine what these kids are going through. It's absolutely amazing. Good for that. All right, one more segment. We got more on Overnight America, KMOX. And welcome back. So, not quite a good story, but still a fun story. And it's always good to see that. And thank you for the text messages that are coming in. I thought this was interesting. If there's anything else you want to share, you can. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I'm glad I'm not alone when I read this, but apparently putting kids to bed is hard work. So any parents out there will know exactly the struggles of that. So parents spend nearly 18 full work days a year trying to get their kids to brush their teeth. 18 full work days trying to get that to happen. 77% are left exhausted following brushing battles and efforts to get the child to bed. You know how hard it is for me to get my three-year-old to brush his teeth. I found a trick that works, and I'm hoping that it always works, but I know that it won't always work. Here's a trick I found that works. When I go up to my kid, I'll say, okay, time to brush your teeth. Ah, time to brush your teeth. He goes, ah. So this is what I do. I say, okay, I'll brush it, and I want you to count to 10. I'm going to brush your teeth, and you can count to 10. When we're done, we're done. And then he brushes his teeth, and I can hear him trying to... And then I'll go, okay, oh, no, you said that number wrong. Start over, and I'll keep going until I have enough time. But for whatever reason, if I let him decide when to cut me off based on him counting to 10 when I'm brushing, somehow it works. So there's all kinds of different parent hacks out there. What are the things that work for you? And I know there's a lot of different stories out there. I also found between moms and dads, 57% of dads admit having difficulty getting their child to bed compared to 63% of moms. Moms have less difficulty getting their kids to put on PJs and bathe than dads. When it comes to bath time, man, that can be frustrating. Plus, moms spend 2 minutes less in the bathroom getting their kids ready than dads, who spend an average of 17 minutes a night. I didn't realize it took 17 minutes. I feel like maybe I'm getting out pretty good, but... And again, the kids, once he gets older, it's going to be a whole different story. Clever kids. The average kid cleans their teeth only 4 times out of a possible 14 times a week without resistance. That's crazy. I feel like I got to fight my kid every time it's time to brush teeth. A couple of ways for parents to see through the lies. Now, of course, I'm standing right next to my kid. He's still 3, so he's too young. But dry toothbrush, that's a sign. Lack of toothpaste smell, that's another sign. Are you going around smelling your kid's toothbrushes? That's weird, right? Like, oh, there's mom again smelling our toothbrushes. Just look at the kid's face. They'll let you know. Parenting, not an easy feat. Half admit to sometimes feeling too exhausted to make sure their kid completes their nighttime routine. I get it. It's the end of the night. You know, it's that home stretch. You know how when you're running a marathon, okay, I'm not going to pretend you guys run marathons, but you know how when they say you run a marathon, you want to finish strong, like you want to run fast all the way till the end of the finish line. You want to run through the finish line. You don't want to stop before or slow down before. You want to run hard through the finish line. That's what it's like with parenting. I found out at the end of the night, you are exhausted. You're ready for that kid to go to sleep so you can have some alone time with your husband or wife. And for whatever reason, it's the hardest part, the end of the night. You just want to get through that part. So I get it. Half are too exhausted. Parents have a few tricks up their sleeve. They say half have bought themed pajamas, specific toothpaste with a favorite character on it, toys for the bathtub, books for bedtime to make nighttime routine easier, like it all. And other helpful items include fun toothbrushes that sing or have lights. I have one with a light on. It seems to work pretty well. Fun shampoo, mouthwash for characters on them. Anything with a child's favorite character theme seems to work out pretty well. Learning all kinds of things about this bedtime. Oh, from Clarksville, James calling in. What's going on?
You were talking about getting your son to brush his teeth.
Yeah.
My brother, he was having issues with his son getting his teeth brushed. And I don't know if you know the old TV show, Fairly Odd Parents.
Oh, yeah. It's a great show.
Yeah. Well, he remembered there was a song that the celebrity Chip Skylark sang in that song called My Shiny Teeth and Me. His son, he showed that to his son. His son loved it. So now he can't brush his teeth without listening to that song.
Say that again. It's called
My Shiny Teeth and Me.
My Shiny Teeth and Me. I'm going to have to look that up. I'll have to find, for me, like, he's 3, so he hasn't watched Fairly Odd Parents, but he does watch Daniel Tiger, and there is one about him brushing his teeth. So maybe I'll have to find something like that. So actually playing the song inside the bathroom. Oh, okay. That's an interesting trick, James. I'll have to give it a shot. Hey, thanks.
Have a good night.
I'm going to admit I don't brush my teeth as much as I used to because I changed my sleeping routine. It was like my entire routine was based around me getting up, getting ready to work. Now it's completely different because now that I work at night, I go home. I still brush my teeth every night. What I used to do was I'd wake up, eat breakfast, brush my teeth, get ready, and go to work. That was like a regular routine. Now I wake up, I eat breakfast, but I don't always think to brush my teeth. And it's like, because you're used to getting out of that routine, I'm still trying to get back in that routine. So maybe I got to take some of these tricks for myself. Here's another good story. I found this online and I thought it was pretty exciting. From the Washington Examiner, Saudi Arabia's crown prince just declared war on the clerics. This is fascinating. So the crown prince declared war on the clerics elite who have long shaped Saudi society. If you remember from a few weeks ago, it's the same person that said, we're going to start allowing women to have driver's licenses. They're going to be allowed to drive without a male president in the car. The man who will be Saudi Arabia's next king, Mohammed bin Salman, did so by delivering a message saying, we are returning to what we were before, a country of moderate Islam that is open to all religions into the world. The crown prince continued, we will not waste 30 years of our lives wasting time dealing with extreme ideas. We will destroy them today. Wow, that's fascinating. What an interesting turn Saudi Arabia is going. I wonder if President Trump knew that based on some of the things he said, the direction of Saudi Arabia is going, and got criticized. Apparently, he said this on Fox Business host Maria Bartiromo. She was someone that was interviewing him. It's kind of interesting you would announce these things on American television, but they speculate it's for him to try to get more of an investment. So in Saudi Arabia, you got a lot of rich old Saudis, the ones that are very traditional or try to go hard on the traditional, and you find them getting to the point where it's like, okay, women can't drive, can't be seen in public without a man present, you know, things like that. Some very oppressive things that they do. And we still see some pretty difficult, very difficult things that crimes and the way punishments are laid out in some of these countries. It makes you really question, like, why? There's still countries in the world that do this sort of thing. And it's good to see someone that's going to get into power there and be able to change or try to revert back some of these things. Now, of course, there's going to be resistance because this is the way people are trained to believe and think. Like, oh, yeah, you know what? It's a crime for women to drive in a car alone. Thus, we need to take it upon our own to make sure, even though it might be legal, that we don't allow it in our culture. But this is the biggest backlash that these opinion pieces and people that are analyzing what's going on in Saudi Arabia, they say it might not be that, because that was my first impression. It may be something bigger than that. It's the people that like the way it is are the ones that have all the money. Now, when Saudi Arabia wants to do something really big and they need some business leaders or backers to get into it to happen, they might not find the support anymore. Thus, why else would the new Saudi leader come here to the United States and do these interviews on Fox Business? Well, he may be trying to secure some funding with business people that see this way, this change in Saudi Arabia, even though the people and the old clerics and the people that agree with them, the ones that have all the money, the ones that would normally invest in this that aren't, maybe he can make it up by people looking at this from the outside and saying, this is a good time to invest in Saudi Arabia. Their change, they're going to change, and this is going to be a time of flourish for them. So that's what they're doing. They're waiting for the pushback from the clerics, but they are prepared for civil instability, also a possible rising tide of terrorism, which they're going to have to fight back to. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But there's a town that apparently they're in the middle of building a town, which I guess in Saudi Arabia you just say, okay, we're just going to build a brand new giant city. So that's basically what they're doing. They are looking for some sort of mega city named Neom. It'll be stretching from the Egyptian to the Jordanian soil, according to the new leader. Be backed by more than a $500 billion investment. And maybe he's looking to make up for some of that, that some people are going to be going off by the wayside for that. All right, a few ways you can reach me, at Ryan Recker on Twitter, at Ryan Recker. Also, I enjoy getting the text messages and the tweets. And Quentin's been messaging me. Thank you, Quentin. thank you for that great message that I've seen throughout the rest of the night. Same thing with Jeff. I always get great tweets from Jeff. You can also email me, like I mentioned, ryan.recker@kmox.com. Or we got the text line up and running, so when you text during the show, I do get to see that. This is the same as the call-in line. Thank you for all the text messages that come in. And I want you to enjoy your night. It's going to be super cold. I can't believe I had to wear a jacket to work. What happened? What happened? I want you to enjoy your night and continue on. Another hour of Overnight America. Game OX. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.